Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
No brakes,
no brakes,
no fear,
no fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
Tricky conditions, possibly the watchword for the past week in British Speedway. Unfortunately, we can't have a chat with the rain itself, but we can have a chat with some of those that did get involved in some action across British Speedway. First of all, at the National Speedway Stadium, where the Bellevue Aces had a big win against the Leicester Lions.
Not much we can do with the weather, really. It's a shame the conditions were heavy in the first round and they'd done a bit of track work and the track actually come really good, and then here come the rain, but not much we can do about that. But really solid win from the boys, full team performance. It's we got to be happy with that.
Something for the Kingsland Stars fans this week, we speak to Niels Christian Iversen, another rider frustrated by the weather.
I haven't done a meeting since we went to Leicester. It's almost 3 weeks ago, and that is frustrating. So I still haven't managed to race in Gdansk yet in Poland either.
Glasgow Tigers have beaten Berwick Bandits the last 13 times they've met, until last weekend when Stuart Dixon's Bandits finally got one over the Tigers.
The bottom line was really to win the meeting, and that would knock the hoodoo at the same time. We've done that. For me, Berwick fully deserve their win.
More reaction from Stuart Dixon to come, and we hear from a Glasgow Tiger in Steve Worrell, who is the latest rider to be quizzed by Mike Boswell.
I guess if I was just cruising down the road and wanted something easy to... I like country music, because, I don't know, it's not head-banging, it's just nice and easy to listen to.
And all this and much more to come on No Brakes, No Fear.
No Brakes, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along. It has been a rain-affected week in British Speedway, but we have had some action, only a little bit, and hopefully much more to come in the week ahead. But the Bellevue Aces were in action on Monday night, and they raced to their first league points of the season with a 51-33 victory over Leicester in the Roe Motor Oil Premiership. The meeting was curtailed one race early as persistent rain moved in from the halfway stage, but the outcome was well beyond doubt by that point. Aces captain Brady Kurtz scored a 4-ride paid maximum with 11+1, and both he and Dan Bewley recorded fast times in the opening heats with conditions being fairly grippy. Bewley won his first 3 rides before missing out in Heat 13, whilst Norrick Bledorn contributed 9+1. The Lions had just 3 race wins, whilst Ryan Douglas picked up 4 second places to top score with 8 points. Well, we'll hear from Stuart Dixon, the team manager of the Leicester Lions, in a couple of moments. First of all, let's hear from captain with his paid max, Brady Kurtz.
Yeah, it's not so bad, I guess. Not much we can do with the weather, really. It's a shame the conditions were heavy in the first round and they'd done a bit of track work and the track actually come really good. And then here come the rain, but not much we can do about that. But really solid win from the boys, full team performance. We got to be happy with that.
You maybe found life a bit tough against Sheffield in that first meeting here, but you really answered those critics tonight, both yourself and Dan, with really fast times and great results.
Yeah, I don't think we lost any talent in one meeting. I think we both just had a bad day. It just happened to be on the same day, and luckily we got a solid team that can help us out when we do. But we were both back in action today, and hopefully it can continue.
That was the thing that you really noticed looking at the scores. whilst you got a paid maximum, of course, and Dan was on a max until the last heat when in really terrible conditions, that the scoring was fairly evenly spread. There was nobody really cut adrift and nobody really flying away. It was a good solid throw.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where we've got the advantage this year. I think we do have a full team, and all of us are going to need to chip in to go all the way, and so far it's looking good.
And overall, your season, you've had a fantastic start to the season. I was commentating with Rory Schlein, and he was saying, you know, you're having a fantastic time on the continent, and, you know, I potentially on bigger things, and you've made no secret about your desire to be in the Grand Prix at some point, and form like this must give you a huge confidence to nail that.
Yeah, obviously, other than last week here, everything's been going pretty well. The practice and stuff in Poland's been super good, and obviously it's only practice, you know, it comes down to the real meetings, but yeah, everything's been going good, and I've just been chipping away, making sure everything's in order, and yeah, hopefully I can continue on.
Well, the fact that we can actually see some of your Kevlar shows you've had a good night.
Yeah, no, that's always a good thing.
Thanks a lot, Brady.
See you later.
Well, I also spoke to Sam Masters after that match at the National Speedway Stadium. He had a bit more of a clean-up operation on his hands, it's fair to say. But the evening started off good for him and the Leicester Lions. It was the second half after the rain began to fall where things really began to fall apart. Here is Sam Masters of the Leicester Lions.
Yeah, I started well personally, and the team did. We were pushing them. And if the track stayed nice, I think it would have been a really good meeting. But obviously the rain's ruined it again. I didn't really know what was happening after about heat 8 because I was out in every race, I felt, and my bike kept cutting out from the weather, and then I never had time to fix the problem. So anyway, it is what it is. We got the meeting done, unfortunately, and it was ended ruined by the weather, but one less time we've got to come back here.
Quite a mountain to climb for the aggregate bonus point, but you've still got to have home advantage when you do face Bellevue, and it's not insurmountable either.
Yeah, you know, like they've done what they've done to us tonight. What was the score? I don't even really know what the score was, but I'm sure we can do the same to them. They've done it to us, so we need to just get on a roll. The season's really getting put on hold here with the weather, and it's no one's fault. But you know, we all tried today. We don't want to be racing too many meetings like this, but we'll battle on.
The weather's been a problem everywhere, hasn't it? Poland's suffering from it too.
Yeah, I think I've had 7 rain-offs now, and it's early April, so yeah, it's crazy, man. It's bucketing down now, and hopefully it clears up soon, because we want to just get on our bikes and get on a bit of a roll and start the season properly.
Okay, well done tonight, Sam. Good luck with the clean-up operation.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Let's hear from Sam Masters' boss then, Stuart Dixon, who spoke to Ryan Guest.
Well, Stuart, obviously that was a tough one in the end for the Lions.
It was tough. Bellevue adapted to the conditions better than us, I think. Spit certainly mid-meeting after the first 4 races, the track was racing well with a lengthy track grade. You know, for whatever reason, I'm not too sure. 2, 6, 7 minute track grades. Yeah, all of a sudden there was a rush on. Sam Masters, I put him in there as a tactical, and he was out in the next race, and the 2 minutes were on straight away. And I thought, so, you know, I thought we wasted a bit of time, but at the end of the day, that could be making excuses. It doesn't get away from the result. We were well beaten on the night, but I can't look too much into it with the way the conditions were. Matt Lemon hit the nail on the head. We wanted 1 and 3 if we won the toss, because we knew they were going to be good to start with, and then the gates would level themselves out. That's exactly what happened, as Mark said in the interview earlier on.
Like you say, it's hard to read too much into it, because 7 or 8 races gone, there was only 6 points or so in it, and you were well in the contest whilst you weren't necessarily picking up the race wins at that point.
Yep, definitely, I would agree. We were in for it for a little period, but as I said, just at that mid-meeting point, I thought Bellevue, you know, I'm not saying rolled their sleeves up, you know, it's like in a football term, but they adapted better to the conditions than we did. We lost a couple of heat advantages and a couple of silly points on the track, which you lose your momentum, the heads go down. It's difficult to keep the heads up when the guys are soaking wet, covered in mud. It's no fun out there. And, you know, didn't matter if we were on 1 and 3 or 2 and 4, they seem to be making the gate on us, which was very, very important tonight. But they were good. We've got to take our hat off. They were good. And we kind of fell away a wee bit, unfortunately.
Got to look forward now. Thursday night at the Pidcock Motorcycles Arena. It's as big as they come, I guess, the reigning champion Sheffield. Your thoughts ahead of that one?
Yeah, it's obviously intriguing. You've got the old owners, the Bates family, you know, bringing Sheffield back to Leicester. They've probably It's the first time, you know, since they've not owned Leicester. Forecast looks decent so far for Thursday, touch wood. We'll be well up for that, you know. We'll be ready. Hopefully, it'll be better conditions, you know, weather-wise, and hopefully we can respond. There's now been questions asked of this Leicester team and of me. We need to respond on Thursday night and show we're up for the challenge. We will be.
And you mentioned those questions that may be being starting to ask. As team manager, still early doors, but any major concerns?
No, not at the moment, to be honest, no. But you obviously, you know, we've lost at home already in the cup, thankfully. You know, no offence, it wasn't a league match. But tonight, disappointing to lose with. Was it 18 points, I think, we lost with? That's disappointing. But, as I say, I don't want to take too much into it because of conditions. But we need to roll our sleeves up on Thursday. Sheffield's going to come looking, because when a team's, you know, at an indifferent start, we'll say they'll be looking to grab points. That's what I'd be doing if I was going there, and their forum was a wee bit erratic like ours. But I expect to see a response from our riders on Thursday night. They'll get a response from me in the team talk, and fingers crossed, all guns blazing. It should be a cracker.
Yeah, fingers crossed, weather permitting, terms and conditions apply, all that kind of stuff. Rome Motor Oil Premiership fixtures for Thursday, then April 11th, Leicester Lions versus Sheffield Tigers. Also got Oxford Spires hosting Ipswich Witches at Oxford Stadium. And at the Adrian Flux Arena, will they finally get their first home meeting on the board? Kingsland Stars versus Bellevue Aces, all of those starting at 7:30. And then looking ahead to Monday, the return leg of that fixture, Bellevue hosting Kingsland at the National Speedway Stadium next Monday, April 15th. And the other Monday fixture is Birmingham Brummies versus the Leicester Lions. And will we see Piotr Pawlicki ride for the first time in Birmingham colours? That is certainly the aim. And we'll look forward to giving you reaction to that on next week's episode of No Breaks, No Fear. Coming up in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, then, we turn our attention to the Kingsland Stars and we have a chat with Niels Christian Iversen, who, there's not a great deal to talk about Kingsland, really, because they've only had the one fixture due to the weather so far. But that is perhaps a topic in itself, and we'll talk to Niels Christian Iversen next on No Breaks, No Fear.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
A couple of pieces of sad news to bring you. Ipswich legend John Tiger Louis sadly passed away at the age of 82 in the past week. Born in the town, John joined the club in 1970, spending the majority of his career with the Witches, and led the team to league and cup titles in the 70s. He became British champion in 1975, and on the world stage he finished third at Wembley Stadium in the same season in one of his four world championship finals. Nicknamed Tiger because of his iconic leathers, John also represented England in the World Team Cup, winning gold three times. After his racing career, he became promoter at Vauxhall before retiring from the role in 2019, along with son Chris, who continues to run affairs at Ipswich. John was recently inducted into British Speedway's Hall of Fame. And our thoughts and the thoughts of everyone across British Speedway are with the Louis family at this sad time. Sean Tacey is one of the many riders who rode for John during his career.
I think he'll be remembered for the admiration, in the sense that, it's no secret that they did go through a big financial crisis at one point, and it was, you know, to save the Speedway, and no matter what, he wasn't going to give up. And that's just so sad at this moment in time for this to have happened now. Well, it is at any time, but they've built an absolute fantastic team again this year. And, you know, the boys are all riding really well. And just a shame he, you know, not going to see the season to develop how I think it will develop.
Sean Tacey speaking there. Also, further sad news, Kelvin Tatum has revealed the death of his father, Martin Spud Tatum, who passed away peacefully last Tuesday at the grand old age of 97. Kelvin says he was a true pioneer in the racing world. He set him and his brother Neville on their paths to their lives in the saddle. And Kelvin says, RIP, Dad. Our thoughts go to, of course, Kelvin Tatum and his family, and that of Chris Louis and the Louis family and everyone involved with Ipswich Speedway.
No breaks, no fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Our special guest this week, well, he's a four-time world champion with Denmark, and he's back with the Kingsland Stars in 2024. Niels Christian Iversen joins us. And Niels, let's just start by talking about the season so far and the fact that actually, you know, we're heading into mid-April and you've not actually had many meetings at all, no. Let alone in Britain. You've had the one meeting against Leicester. Have you ever known a start to a season like it where you're jetting in and out of different countries just to get another rain off?
I think the last couple of years has been quite wet to start the season, but I don't know. I mean, this year seems to be a bit extreme. I left home last Monday, and I was home again yesterday, and I didn't really manage to do anything. So it was just traveling around, staying different places, and get rained off everywhere. So yeah, it's frustrating, and yeah. It would be nice with some good weather now and some better conditions.
Because in Poland, you're riding with Gdansk, aren't you? And I've seen Tom Brennan having obviously similar journeys to you. He's jetting out of the UK, gets to Gdansk to find that maybe even get to the track and it's not rideable. And riders just want to be on the bike because when you're on the bike, you're earning money, of course, as well. So there is that.
Of course, it's everything. You know, we sort of try our best to prepare for the season as good as possible, and you know, you want to spend a bit of time on the tracks, trying engines, testing different setups, and just just get the preparations running. But so far it hasn't really been possible. I haven't done a meeting since we went to Leicester. It's almost 3 weeks ago, and yeah, that is frustrating. So I still haven't managed to race in Gdansk yet in Poland either. Not even a practice session. So season starts there this week. So it's not really ideal.
Yeah, and you've got hopefully some action with Kings Lynn this week. Finally, looking to get that first home meeting on, and it'll be up against Bellevue Aces. I know that you watched Bellevue in action on Monday night when they raced against Leicester. And they looked like a solid outfit, and I guess for you boys, for Kings Lynn, you're not sure how you're going to go on your home track yet, because you haven't, as we just mentioned, you haven't actually had a home meeting.
No, we haven't had a home meeting yet, and which is also obviously Bellevue had quite a few meetings done already, and you know, they are a good team. They looks to be a very solid 1-7 again, and yeah, we definitely need to. Need to be ready for them when they come on Thursday. So, but it would be good to start the season at home, and yeah, just hopefully we can all hit a good performance, and we'll all be happy.
Looking at the Kings Lynn side, obviously there's a lot of familiarity to Peterborough Panthers fans about it, because there's a number of you moved over. Unfortunate situation, maybe a word on the Peterborough situation as well, a club that you were at last year that's now no longer there. It must be very sad too to see, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the showground now with everything removed and sort of being slowly dismantled. It's a sad sight, but I guess though, for Peterborough fans, if they are willing to make the journey over to Kings Lynn, there is some, a bit like I suppose with Leicester or with Birmingham, some familiarity with riders for those teams that are no longer unfortunately with us.
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously frustrating with any tracks which is not racing anymore and which is closing down, because, you know, the more teams, the more clubs and the more tracks, the better. You know, it's obviously a disaster when the tracks are closing down. So yeah, what can we say? It's pretty sad, but yeah, this year Kings Lynn, and we have quite a few boys from the Peterborough team. So yeah, it would be good to see some of the Panthers supporters maybe make their way up to King's Lynn or to Leicester or wherever to see some of the riders and maybe support a new team or at least support the sport. I think that's sort of more important than to have a team which you support. I think the sports needs it no matter what team you're cheering for.
I guess you could even go along and support the opposition. You know, if you can't bring yourself as a Peterborough fan to support King's Lynn, you could support whoever's visiting that week.
You could do that, but like I said, I think it's more important just to get behind the sport and get some people into the stadiums, and hopefully things can start to grow a bit again, and we can get more teams back.
As we mentioned, you've only had the one fixture, so there's not a great deal to go on. It was an away visit to Leicester, a good, you know, sort of solid all round performance. You only missed out by a few points, really. So a close one, and Leicester notoriously not the easiest place to go. How would you assess that first team performance on that visit to Leicester, which was, as you say, a few weeks ago now?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think it was that great for us. I think most of the boys sort of felt after the meeting we could do better. We had a couple of boys which was going fairly well, and Vadim had a good meeting. He's normally not... he didn't have so much success on the track there in the past, but he did really good. But I think that as a team we could have done better, but it was still quite close in the end. But of course, it was also the first meeting for Leicester as well, and they probably had a similar feeling. Some of their boys that were underperforming and still early days. So it would be nice just to get some meetings in every week and sort of manage like try and build up the form and build some momentum to race by.
5 points in it, though. The aggregate bonus points are going to be really crucial. So, you know, it's certainly not out of sight from that point of view when you do face the Lions at the Adrian Flux Arena in the coming weeks.
No, for sure. I mean, we need to perform good at home. We need to make sure that we are dialed in properly and at least win the home meetings. And I also think that. That 5 points is definitely manageable at home to win by more than 5 points. So that's obviously the aim. But now we have to face Bellevue first of all and get off to a good start.
Looking at the team, we mentioned about there being consistency with Peterborough, but also a strong Danish presence in the King's Lynn Stars lineup as well, with obviously yourself, Ben Basso, Michael Palm Toft. So from that point of view, you know, there's a good sort of home feeling perhaps among those riders, and obviously no communication issues at all.
No, I don't think communication is never really an issue. You know, most of us we speak English in the pits so everybody understands, and which is how it should be. But again, we had quite a few of the same boys in the Peterborough side last year, and the season didn't start well last year, but for sure, sort of midway through or like after the summer, then the form started to pick up. Everybody was starting to go better. We had some changes in the team which improved the performance. So yeah, there's a few of the same boys this year, but again, I know the other riders as well from different teams and different races and everything. So we just want to get going and show what we can do.
And also familiarity with Rob Lyon, of course, who moves over as team manager. Of course, he's been with the King's Lynn Stars before, moves back there. And, you know, a title winner in recent years as well. So, again, another part of the team that you're all familiar with.
Yeah, Rob, he's been in the sport for many years. I've been riding with him as team manager for several seasons before at King's Lynn. And yeah, I know him very well, so he definitely know what he has to do and how to set the team up and try and make sure that everything around us is how it should be, so we can perform on the track. So again, yeah, it's as I see it, a good step for King's Glen to have Rob leading the team.
Eventually, hopefully, it will stop raining in Europe and particularly in the UK as well, and we'll get some meetings on. But looking at the Premiership overall, the standard of teams is much higher than it has been for many years, and I think every team has got a Grand Prix rider or a very recent Grand Prix rider amongst their ranks. So, you know, you are facing some tough opposition, but that must be exciting for you to race against. You know, I know you do it in Poland week in, week out, but to do it in Britain, it must be a nice refreshing change.
It is. It's good to see that that the league's getting stronger in England, and it's good to see some of the old faces or definitely riders which has been racing in England in the past has come back and. You know, I think it's just good for the sport. But again, it's also it's going to be more tough on the tracks. It's going to be more compatible and competitive. Can't take anything for granted. You know, when you roll up to the tape, you know you're going to have your work cut out, and makes us work harder as well. So I think it's good.
We had a conversation at the British Speedway Media Day about whenever we look at the top riders, you know, these top riders, they may well fall out of the Grand Prix for a bit, but quite often they come back, or they're certainly threatening there or thereabouts. And and you explained it really well, actually, the difference between, you know, a good rider, say a good sort of league rider, and a world class rider. You know, talking to people like, you know, Woofy or now Bewley, Yanofsky, yourself, you've been right to the top, second in the world. You know, to me, I think that's pretty much the top, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but what separates you from a good regular rider?
I think consistency. And I'm not talking about consistency in terms of being in top of the Grand Prix year in and year out, but you need to be consistent in your preparation and in your attitude towards the sport, and just to make sure that you do everything that you can all the time and not get carried away when you have a bit of success, because then it's easily gone again. So I think consistency is everything. As well as on the track, and many times you see the top riders as you described them, they always perform pretty good in the leagues. They're always there and about a number one spot, and they just know how to approach the sport, and I think that is the difference.
And I think as well, another thing that came out from asking that similar question to other riders, and I think I asked it to Woofy, Yanofsky, Greg Hancock, and they all touched on as well, you know, the mental aspect too of having that mental strength, and perhaps that difference of knowing that when you pull up to the tapes that you're probably going to beat the people next to you, even if they don't realise it yet. You know, that it's not so much how you ride the bike or how fast you ride the bike, but knowing up here that you can do it, that and that strength. And when you're under pressure as well, you might have lost your first two races or come third or come fourth in the first two races, but then pulling up to the tapes, as we've seen, you know, with the likes of Schmarschlik and so on, so, you know, repeatedly over time, they get to the tapes, they've had a bad start, but then still they're standing on top of the podium at the end of the meeting.
Yeah, and that is obviously mental toughness and it's confidence. It's a matter of, but it's a thing, it's something you build up. I mean, for me personally, it is something that I build up. If I have a momentum going, if I perform solid pretty much everywhere, then it's more difficult to beat me also psychological, because I have a feeling when I go to the tapes and when I go to the meetings that, you know, it's only a matter of who's going to beat me a few times, you know, if how many points I'm going to drop. And I know on good days that I'm not going to drop a lot of points. It's sort of like something that you feel inside you. And of course, it's never a guarantee that everything is going to go well. That's not what I'm saying. And you shouldn't be overconfident. Let's say like that. But again, you need to believe yourself, and you need to sort of manage to keep that feeling inside you. But But it is a momentum, and it is something that that you build up over time. It's not something that just comes from one day to another.
I think it's an interesting way of looking at it, because I think, you know, obviously a lot of people would think, how many points am I going to score today? But for you, you're looking about, how many am I going to drop? You know, I'm going to win them all, but maybe I might drop a few. So it's just limiting how many you lose rather than how many you are going to score.
Yeah, yeah. But again, you know, I mean, if you're not confident, if you have a tough time and things is not working out for you, then it also goes the other way. It's tough even before you get to the meetings, because you overthink things and you sort of don't have that positive energy and that confidence and belief in everything that is going to be good that you would when things are on the roll. So so it can be both things, you know, both scenarios, but yeah, you need to be strong mentally to be able to be a high performer over many years. Then it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of determination and definitely a lot of consistency in how you approach.
And I guess as well, the consistency in the mechanical side too, I guess, in who tunes your engines and who's, you know, putting the bikes together. That obviously, you're only as good as what you're on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is everything. It is, you need to have that that resilience, that when things is not going good, that you can still manage to pull something through and you still have that fire to keep working, even things is not going well. And that comes to your own physique. It comes down to how you prepare your equipment, how much time you spend on testing things, and just prepare everything. And I think everything is one package when it comes to being a really good rider. I mean, a lot of boys can go to a certain level from talent and just to because they're good on a bike, but not really take too much else into consideration. Whereas if you really want to be a top rider, then you need to have the full package, and otherwise you're not going to get there. Maybe you can get there, but you won't stay there.
I did had a conversation with Rory Schlein on another show that we're doing, and we were talking about Kings Lynn, and he was talking about you. Of course, he's ridden with you over the years, and he said that you are the fastest rider he's ever ridden with. just he could never keep up with you. You're just out and out speed. So you must be doing something right on that front.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did have quite a lot of years when I was fast. I know I was fast, but that was also down to equipment suiting me really good. Confidence, everything was going well. I'd taken a few knocks and stuff, and I felt like it set me back on many levels. Especially when it comes to just my overall performance. So yeah, I know what I can do when things are going well. So obviously that's also what I'm looking to achieve also this season.
And you are now with sort of the next generation of Danish talent, I suppose, in the likes of Benjamin Basso. There's a good production line coming through once again in Danish speedway. Jonas Knudsen, perhaps another example. There are many others, but it seems to be a good time, and Denmark doing well on the world scene at the moment, but you fancy maybe better days are around the corner again.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we have quite a few young talents coming through. Like you said, Benjamin is doing well. He's improving all the time, same as many of the other young boys. We had new boys in the Grand Prix, not this year, but I mean, if you look a couple of years back with Anders Thompson coming in, Mikkel Mikkelsen coming in, and doing fairly decent on the big scene. So yeah, I think that the talents are coming through all the time. It's just a matter about who has that extra to go the last bit and who's strong enough to actually stay there, because that's a different matter. Because talent comes and goes, and the art is to stay for a long time. So yeah.
And it's the Speedway of Nations, of course, in the UK later this year. I'm not sure if you're going to be you'll be involved in that in any capacity, but that's at the National Speedway Stadium in Manchester. But obviously, everybody starts with the scores all level there. We've seen surprises before with Poland getting in a bit of a pickle in that final bend and gifting it to Great Britain from that moment. One that I don't think Magic Yanofsky is going to live down for a little while. but it's a big major event back in Britain there in Manchester, and that'll be in July.
Yeah, that's going to be a massive event again. I don't think I would be in the lineup for Denmark. I haven't really done anything to be in the lineup, let's say like that. So we have some strong boys which are ready to do it, and also they need to build for the future as well. You know, they can't keep running the old boys all the time. You know, but they have a good new setup with Team Denmark. Nicky's in charge now. He have this squad of riders there, which is sort of there and about the Grand Prix, and I think what they're doing is looking quite good. You know, they have been improving for since Nicky came there in charge, and I think you know, if everybody of the Danish boys is performing well on the day, then I think we're also in for a shot. So I definitely hope that. That we're gonna reach some success with Denmark, but again, it's completely open. It's a really good track to have the event on, it's one of the biggest in the calendar.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing it. Well, look, all the best, Niels, when you do get on track. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that will be this Thursday.
Thank you,
Kings Lynn.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think everybody does. Yeah. But surely things will improve at some point soon, and look forward to seeing you in action, and all the best for the season for yourself and Kings Lynn.
Thanks for that.
Niels Christian Iversen, and you can see him in action for the Kings Lynn Stars this coming Thursday at the time of releasing this, and wherever the Kings Lynn Stars will of course be riding, he's also in action in Poland for Gdansk as well when they eventually get on as well. So these are wet conditions affecting everybody across Europe at the moment, not just in the UK. In the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, a little bit of reaction from around about the Cab Direct Championship. We'll hear again from Stuart Dixon, because his side, the Berwick Bandits, not only have they won their first bit of silverware, but also they got a big win on the board in the BSN series, taking on the reigning league champions, the Glasgow Tigers. And we'll hear from Stuart Dixon on his early assessment of Berwick's chances in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear. And we will hear from a Glasgow Tiger as well, in the form of Steve Worrell, who meets Mike this week. Mike Boswell, our regular reporter, he's interrogated a number of riders, and the next one to step up to the plate is Steve Worrell, who gives quite in-depth answers as well. That's on the way in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
A little bit of a roundup from the Cab Direct Championship in this part of No Breaks, No Fear, and we'll start in the far northeast corner of England. And the Berwick Bandits finally ended their Glasgow hoodoo with a 48-42 win over the Glasgow Tigers in the BSN series opener on Saturday. The Bandits had lost their last 13 matches against Glasgow, but held on for victory in an exciting Shieldfield Park clash, which went right down to a last heat decider. A tactical substitute win for Chris Harris in the penultimate race helped reduce the gap to 4 points, but Berwick number one Louis Kerr got the better of Chris Harris for the third time in the meeting in Heat 15. Rory Schlein adding third place ahead of Leon Flint. And Louis Kerr scored 13+1 for the Bandits, dropping his only point to Leon Flint in Heat 10. Chris Harris racked up 15 from six rides for the Tigers, who were a six-rider outfit after reserve Lee Complin provided a non-negative result to an anti-doping test. And there'll be more on that in the coming days as there's more information around that situation. Right now, though, let's hear from Stuart Dixon, team manager of the Berwick Bandits. And you might say it's been a long time coming for Berwick to get one over the old enemy Glasgow Tigers. And finally, they achieved it in 2024.
Well, Stuart, Saturday night, a terrific performance from Berwick. And I know it's something that you like to keep track of, whichever club you're in charge of. But also to end that hoodoo against Glasgow for Berwick as well, that was really pleasing for the club.
It was. That was obviously the topic of conversation up to the start of the meeting on Saturday night, that Berwick has not managed to beat Glasgow on the last 13 occasions. Obviously, there, some new riders in weren't part of that sort of scenario, or myself, but the bottom line was really to win the meeting, and that would knock the hoodoo at the same time. We've done that. For me, Berwick thoroughly deserved their win, 48-42, and the scoreline never flattered us in any way. It was a good, convincing win, yeah.
When you look through the score chart as well, it was great that everyone played their part, everyone contributed at least a paid win for all seven of the boys.
Very important. I know one or two of the boys were slightly disappointed with their performance, but you know, as a seven-man team, as everybody knows, and you know, you look at our scores, Louis Kerr, obviously, you can see top man, but it's solid. The next six riders are very, very solid with the scoring. I'm sure Rory will improve his score a little bit, as one or two others will, but overall, as long as we can get that magic 46 points in all the home meetings this year, it'll keep the Berwick fans happy, which is the job I've been brought in to do.
Very early doors, but enough encouraging signs so far?
Definitely, yes, I think there is. Glasgow was a big test. I know there'll be others, without naming names. The clubs, the riders and the supporters will know the clubs I'm talking about. There's going to be bigger challenges, but we have another one this Saturday against Edinburgh. If we can get a victory against them, that will give us two home wins in the BSN Trophy, and then it's up to us to try and steal something on our way trip.
There's no disrespect to the Berwick Bandits of years gone by, but with bringing yourself in as team manager this year, with some of the signings that have been made over the winter, is it almost as if there's a shift of mentality at the Bandits this year, perhaps?
I would think so. Obviously, I wasn't there before, so it's hard to judge, but when you do bring in new faces, there is a freshness about it, and they're you know, still kind of worrying about things for the season before because they weren't here. Same as myself. I think, without being disrespectful, the only way was up. You know what I mean? And we've done that. But as I say, as you rightly said, and I'll rightly say again, it's early doors yet. Very, very early. But very good start, yeah.
Yeah, the Courtney's obviously put so much time, effort and dedication in up there as well. And there's a picture been doing the rounds on social media of Louis Kerr congratulating the track staff after that Heat 15 as well. The Courtney's have put stuff out on their social media as well saying that's what it meant, because so much work has been put in into that venue, particularly that racetrack.
Yeah, Louis Kerr, the gentleman he was cuddling, was obviously Razor, who does the track, Ian Ray at Berwick. He was underwater on Thursday night, Friday morning. He'd done a great job to get into shape. I think that was a thank you for that, because Louis really did revel in those conditions on Saturday night. But as you say about the Courtneys, they worked tirelessly behind the scenes. They brought me in to do the managerial side. They could concentrate on other stuff. And so far, it's been the perfect sort of partnership almost. But we just, as I say, we just need to keep it going as long as we possibly can, because they're a really good buzz. The pits were bouncing on Saturday night, we'd expect, and so was the main stand when we come round in the parade truck, the back straight, the third bend people. You're some really passionate fans at Berwick, and we want to give them something to shout about, that's for sure. And so far, we're doing the job of us, yeah.
Elsewhere in the Cab Direct Championship and in the BSN Series, Jake Allen and Nathan Ablett took the honours as Scunthorpe Scorpions opened their season with a 52-38 win over Redcar Bears. It was the Aussie star Jake Allen who top scored for the Scorpions with 13 plus 1 bonus, dropping his only point of the meeting to the Bears' Charles Wright in the final race, whilst reserve Ablett was very impressive with 12 from 5 rides. The Scorpions won the meeting despite losing Michael Palmtoft due to an early spill when he looped out of the gate. His finger slipped off the clutch in Heat 3, whilst Wright was fortunate to escape injury when he collected the fallen Kyle Howarth in Heat 13 before resuming to total 16 points. I'll hear from a couple of those involved in a moment. We'll hear from the Redcar Bears team manager Gavin Parr. First of all, captain of the Scunthorpe Scorpions, Simon Lambert.
Quite a healthy lead to take into the second leg of this tie now.
Yeah, for sure, you know. All a little bit race rusty. Not really a normal scunny track with a few bumps and holes, which you don't normally get here, but still a good meeting and exciting and some good racing. So, yeah, as long as everyone enjoyed it, you know, luckily everyone's gone home safe and sound. And I think, you know, from a team's point of view, it's a good, very, very good opening meeting and room for improvement. And with the win victory we got, you know, a bit more improvement like we've got in a tank, you know, it'd be more. So, positives.
There was a lot of chat about the track beforehand. A lot of extra work was required to get it on. Just tell us about the conversations that are going on there. And we saw you talking to the tractor driver and whatever to get it on. And we saw that actually, as the meeting went on, that inside line where the concern was actually opened up.
It's often the case, you know. Listen, you know, first meeting of the season, we're all a bit rusty, whether it's first meeting or last meeting, we all want to go home safe. But very soft going in turn one. Everyone was happy for Rob to do the work. He just bladed it off, just, you know, ripped the grip out basically and took it to the base. But it did produce a bit, you know. So, you know, like I say, this isn't a normal track. He's had a few stock car meetings and it's had a lot of hammer. You know, look at the weather, you know, raining again now. It's been the worst winter ever, really, hasn't it? You know, so the tractor took hammer, but again, it is what it is. Fair play to Rob and all his team. A big thank you and well done to the fans as well for, you know, persevering and waiting. And the show went on, and yeah, you know, credit where credit's due. You know, well done to all the riders. We were all keen to go and we all wanted to race. You know, they did a great job last week, but certain others didn't want to ride. So it is what it is.
And perhaps the star man of the night, certainly Rory Schlein's star man on commentary this evening, was Nathan Ablett, who had a terrific evening at reserve.
Yeah, fantastic, you know, but that's why he's back this year, you know. He showed signs every week of improvement last year, made a few silly mistakes, but, you know, he's a young lad, he's learning, and, you know, he was signed to potentially be one of the best, if not the best reserve in the league. And well, I think, you know, he set the bar quite high for himself. So, so yeah, great. You know, like I say, 1-7, very good, very pleased. And also a special mention, David Ayer, you know, after last week's palaver and this week's struggle with the track conditions and then Tufty getting injured, IRR, he's had a proper baptism of fire, but he's handled it well. He's been brilliant, you know, and he's like the calm in the team. So, yeah, on a whole, we all believe we can go places this year.
Awesome, great job tonight, Simon.
No worries, mate, thank you.
Despite tricky conditions, there was some very good racing throughout the course of the meeting, but it was a tough night at the office for the Red Car Bears. Here's the Bears team manager, Gavin Parr.
Yeah, we held on, didn't we? We sort of dug in, you know, but it was very difficult from the start. I think Scunthorpe, our riders, the conditions weren't ideal, but, you know, the weather that we've had certainly doesn't help. You know, I feel for Rob, I feel for anybody who's trying to prepare tracks at this time of year. So yeah, it wasn't ideal. We all seven of our riders wanted to race. It just needed a little bit of remedial works to start with, which I think we got done to a sort of satisfactory level. But from then on, yeah, take nothing away from Scunthorpe. They're great at their own track anyway, and we just found it a little bit difficult.
What would be the areas, you know, this is the first time you've seen your team in action together as a 1-7, are there any areas that you're looking to maybe tweak for the next fixture?
I don't think for the next fixture, but I think I've got to look. Today I thought Jason rode fantastic at number two, and it might be a case of Jason, Connor and Jonas might swap places for a few matches until we find the balance that works correctly. But I'm not going to sort of, you know, I'm not going to do massive changes just because of what happened here tonight. Let's see what happens in the next sort of two or three, certainly the BSN series, let's say.
And you've got a fixture coming up at home fairly soon, all being well, weather permitting. Hopefully the weather the next week's going to be pretty good, fingers crossed. But you're racing at home and it'll be against Workington, so you're surely looking to get your season started in your BSN series at home, which is where really the focus has got to be, everybody to try and win their home fixtures.
Yeah, without doubt. You know, I think the guys, they're wounded tonight, you know, they're not happy, I'm not happy. At the end of the day, we want to win every fixture. We know coming to Scunthorpe's always hard, but yeah, we'll certainly be looking to bounce back in style at home against a working side where sort of four or so of them won't have ever rode the track. So yeah, as I say, I'm not going to sort of do too much after tonight's performance. But there might be little tweaks that need to be made. We'll see how it goes after this.
And top scorer by quite some distance was Charles Wright, who once again showed his class in all conditions.
Yeah, Charles is just brilliant at the end of the day. You know, he's had a fantastic start with Oxford. And I think, to be fair, you always think of Charles riding the dirt and loving the dirt, but Oxford's quite slick. I think he went to Birmingham, which was quite slick, and he's come here tonight and showed that, you know what it is, it doesn't matter what he rides on. Charles will always, he'll always give you 100%. And yeah, he top scored by a mile.
Awesome. Like, well, we'll see you again soon. You're on BSN again very soon, next Friday, so we'll see you back at the Echo Arena.
Let's hope I'm smiling a little bit more, Ian.
Yeah, and you can see the Red Car Bears versus Workington Comets on BSN on Friday. We'll run through all the fixtures before we finish off. Before we do that, though, let's have another episode of Mike Meets. Mike Boswell, our intrepid reporter. We challenged him at the British Speedway Row Motor Oil Premiership Media Day to try and lure as many riders over to him as he could through the course of the day. And he had a very good success rate. And in fact, some riders speaking to Mike who... well, you very rarely hear interviewed anywhere else, to be honest. But Steve Worrell was one of the riders who spent quite a bit of time chatting with Mike. I think he enjoyed himself. And right now, you're going to get to know Steve Worrell a bit better, of course, of the Birmingham Brummies and the Glasgow Tigers as well in 2024. Mike Boswell meets Steve Worrell.
Name?
Stephen Worrell.
Occupation?
Professional speedway rider.
First time on a speedway bike?
I think it would have been, I did a slide day at Scunthorpe on a little track, on like a little 150 type thing, and it just went from there.
Was it something that you asked to go and do, or was it something that your parents go, oh, he'll like to go and do that?
It was strange how it came around, because from basically walking, we rode motocross bikes. I had an accident where kind of turned me, pushed me away from motorsport in general. And we'd done it from 3 years old till I'd say 13. You know, it's a long time that we'd built up the skills to be able to ride bikes. And we always watched Speedway on TV.
And it
was just randomly, we was watching it one night and my dad thought, why don't we have a go? And yeah, it went from there.
It's it always seems to be the dads. I have a little boy and he's shown interest in motorsport. I was like, yeah, you can have a go. And now the dad, as the dad, I'm going, don't push him too much. Don't push him too much. He's got to go and enjoy it.
Yeah, I know exactly that feeling, because obviously doing it myself now, my lad has a bike. He's nine. He's probably been on it, I don't know, 10 times maximum, because I don't enjoy watching him. And I know it's selfish, but to be able to fully invest in it, you've both got to be, excited and into it. And I'm not into watching him do it, because maybe my thought process will change over time, but I know the dangers, and maybe I've been through more than others with injuries and all that, which puts me off, because I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't think I could watch my son go through it, so puts me off. And so he's into football, so we go footballing Saturdays and Sundays now, which is nicer.
You're a little bit like more relaxed. I think it sounds. I get relaxed with it, but like my wife, I don't know what to say. My wife is the person who is on the sidelines going, go faster, go faster. I never thought she would be the competitive type of person. So.
Yeah, I know the feeling, because we're the same. You know, she'll be pushing me to take him on it, and I don't enjoy it, so I kind of like come up with every excuse of why we don't want to go that day. So,
makes sense. I totally connect with that. People who've helped you then in your speedway career.
There's a lot of people. I'd say the early days, obviously, I wouldn't be doing it at all without my parents. You know, like they funded the whole thing from, I'd say, right up until what, maybe 6 years ago. You know, like the first 5-6 years of Speedway was completely funded by my parents. So, and then obviously as you start getting more professional and you've got to start standing on your own 2 feet, and then you start looking for sponsors. And I've had sponsors who've been with me for a very long time, like CFS. You know, they've been with me now for, I think, maybe 6 years. And people like that, they're just so hard to come by, and can't thank them enough, really, for what they do for me every single year.
Mm-hmm. Now, and the sponsors are super important in any sort of sport, full stop.
Yeah, because you need the... It's not so much the financial investment, but it's just the backing of somebody, you know, to help and take the load off with things. And, you know, they're absolutely fantastic. You know, they don't ask a lot of me either, which... Yeah. Sometimes it's hard when you're trying to, you know, we're like bloody circus acts, you know, we're trying to juggle so many things. And when you're trying to do it all on your own, and during the season it's so busy, here, there and everywhere, and there's too many things to juggle. And, you know, the way our relationship is with them, it's fantastic. And not only them, there's a lot of people, you know, back in my Bellevue days, I did 7 years here, and I had Ian Sinderson with ATPI, you know, Mark Lemon, mm-hmm. The manager and the director of Speedway here at the National Speedway Stadium. You know, he was a big part of it all from the way through my Bellevue days. I've probably missed out people, but you know, there's so many. You know, it's hard to put them all down in a sentence.
I, as I say, totally understand where you're coming from, and with the sponsors being important. I mean, if anything, yeah. I know we're asking questions here, but sort of just that reflection on the sponsors. Is it the belief also, and the confidence that when they invest in you, it helps? Or
in a way, yeah. There's more of a purpose. You know, you've got people backing you. You've got people who, you know, they believe in you almost. Otherwise, they wouldn't be helping you.
Yeah.
And it does spur you on. You know, like there's a lot to be said for sponsorship, other than just the financial help or the help with products. You know, it's the belief and the backing that, you know, someone wants to be associated with you.
Okay, so we've talked about people who've helped you in your Speedway career. Best things about Speedway?
It's the lifestyle. You know, like we get to do days like this. You know, like I could be doing a 9-to-5 somewhere now and just go home and same thing every day, but we do get to live a very good life, and sometimes you do take it for granted. We have to, I guess, just stop and look around and take in what we do and where we get to go and what we get to see. And, you know, it is, you know, I can't think of what the word is, but it is like a privilege, you know, to be able to do what we do. And like you mention it to people outside of Speedway, just in general on the school run or whatever, and you know, they say, oh wow, you know, what an amazing job that is. And yeah, we do take it for granted, so no, it's like, yeah, it's,
yeah,
there's no other job like it. And you know, I do appreciate what I do, and I know it won't last forever, and I can, you know, when the time comes, I can hang my boots up, mm-hmm. as the quote goes, and go and live that normal life of, you know, going to work and doing whatever. But in the moment now, I've got to make sure I enjoy it all and take it in.
If somewhere, it's a bit like, I don't know, taking in his 20s, maybe going travelling, experiencing all different things that are thrown at you, and then going and reflecting back on it.
That's it. You know, like I can stop and go and get a job any day I want, you know, like, and I can go and live that lifestyle, but I can't do this forever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's... gonna make sure I keep thinking back to that. You know, when it's tough, which it is, you know, like when Speedway is good, it's good. When it's bad, it's terrible, because you do so much work, you know, put so much into it, you know, emotionally, physically, financially, to turn up and like not score what you're capable of, or go through a bad patch, or, you know, go through injury. You do have to just step back and remember that, you know, like the good times are good, and you know, make sure you make the most of them.
So how would people around you describe Steve Worrell?
Hopefully as a good guy, you know, like genuine, I guess. You know, I'd help anyone, you know. Yeah. Anyone needs help, I'm always the first person there. Always willing to, you know, do whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's quite an honour that the last few teams that I've represented over the last 5 years that I've been captain, apart from my time at Wolverhampton, which was with Sam. Sam has been the long-standing captain there. And I think it says a lot. You know, there's not a lot of people who have the characteristics to be a captain and to or want to be in that role, you know, like, for what one reason or another, the teams have always, that I've been a part of, have selected me to be captain, and I guess it's because I have them characteristics, you know, I'm open, I'm willing to help, I'm approachable, you know, I'm, I guess, hopefully nice, well-spoken, and, you know, all them things that tick the boxes.
Absolutely. There's always a lot of tick boxing going on, and sort of, you know, if you could tick a box for someone to watch for the future, is there anyone that you've got your eye on, or even you're helping at any point in time?
I don't know. It's difficult because there's so many young kids coming through, but the issue is if you're not in the team with them, you get a real different view or a perspective of who they are and what they do. And then, like I've experienced it before, you know, there'll be a certain rider who you've never been in a team or involved in a team with them, and your opinion of them is different. Is, you know, you might have a different opinion of them because
outside in.
Yeah, because everyone treats racing differently. You know, you turn up and it's not a normal life. It's everyone. Or some people can be a completely different person as soon as they get to track, and once the racing's finished, the switch flicks and they become that normal person again.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're in the circle and you know them and you spend time with them, you only see that, you know, that it might be, I don't know, like Nicky Pedersen as an example. You know, I imagine he's two completely different people. So on track, he's ruthless, you know, he's...
Super
is Nicky Pedersen.
Focused,
he has
focused.
Tunnel vision on just being successful and winning. And then off the track, he's the nicest guy.
Yeah.
So unless you're involved with him and understand him and spend time with him, you would never meet that other person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've had it a lot of times in different teams where, you know, there'll be sign a certain rider, for instance, and you think, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. And then you spend time with them, you learn about them, and you get a completely different perspective. And so there is like a lot of young British lads who I haven't had a chance to spend time with to be able to read and understand, and because I've been around a while, I've you know, started at the bottom, struggled on my own, trying to work it all out to get where I am now. So I feel like I have got a lot of experience in understanding from starting out, and you see it now where, like, all the mistakes that we made with, you know, not having a clue about how to work with the bikes and all that lot. And you see it now with these younger kids. But there's obviously people who I have spent time with, like I know they're not English, but the Cooks, you know, Ben and Zach Cook.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Prime example for Ben, you know, he turned up here in the Peter Craven and, you know, he could have won it, you know.
Superb form.
It's, but you see their attitudes and all that, you know, and I think that they've got a long way to go, you know, and they can go a long way in British Speedway and in World Speedway.
So, going back in time and history, we'll talk about iPods. What would you have on your iPod? Or what was the last kind of thing that you listened to?
I guess if I was just cruising down the road and wanted something easy to... I like country music.
Because,
I don't know, it's not head-banging. It's, you know, it's just nice and easy to listen to. And so if I was going to fill it up with some songs, it'd be probably country music, yeah.
Fair enough. And the country in the UK is certainly making a big comeback. It's definitely a popular genre now. Career post Speedway. So if you could do any job in the world, what would Steve Worrall like to do?
A professional footballer or something. They have a good lifestyle, don't they?
Yeah, they have a bit of a longer lifestyle.
It's similar, it's competitive, you know, they're active all the time. They get paid a fortune for doing what they do, so they can do nice houses, nice cars, live a nice lifestyle. That would suit me, yeah.
Cool. Last film kind of watched? Or last thing you binged watched?
I'm enjoying a series on Netflix, I think The Gentleman. I'm watching that. So I've got a train to Glasgow on tomorrow for 6 hours, so hopefully I'll get it finished.
Yeah, just scroll and wait. Oh, awesome stuff. Speedway question related, you know, favourite tracks that you like going to?
Favourite tracks, I think obviously
UK
spending so much time in Poole, obviously that become a real favourite of mine. I mean, you can't ignore the National Speedway Stadium. Obviously I spent a long time here, and and I learned to race the track really well. So obviously Bellevue's in that, on that list as well. So I say Poole and Bellevue, the Wolverhampton. You know, that was always a track that I seemed to ride well at. You know, it was a, it suited my style really well. If I was going with the top three, it's them.
It's done. Done. Cool. Final question, then I'll let you get on with all the other bits today. What do you do to switch off, relax, and wind down?
I'm lucky. I've got my wife and my two children. So when I get home from Speedway, I can kind of, you know, I haven't got to sit there in my own thoughts. You know, like there's, it's a busy lifestyle, and you're trying to look, trying to run a family,
oh my giddy aunt, yes.
Because you know, every single night there's something going on, whether it's singing, gymnastics, dancing, football, athletics, swimming, you know that. So lifestyle at home is just as busy as Speedway. So like when I get back, it's easy for me to switch off because there's just so much going on.
So quick question. So last question. Have you got the dad's taxi sticker yet on the back? Yeah. It feels like that sometimes.
Well, yeah, it does, yeah. But I'm not there yet.
Cool. Steve, well, thank you very much for chat.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, great chat there with Mike and Steve Worrell, who will be racing for the Birmingham Brummies and the Glasgow Tigers. Let's have a look at the upcoming fixtures across all of the leagues of British Speedway. And we'll start on Wednesday, BSN Series Southern Pool Pirates versus the Plymouth Gladiators. 7:30 the start time. That fixture will be live on BSN as well on Wednesday evening. Thursday, it's Roe Motor All Premiership. It's Kingsland Stars versus Bellevue Aces, Leicester Lions versus Sheffield Tigers, and Oxford Spires versus the Ipswich Witches. Friday, another BSN broadcast for you from the BSN Series in the Northern Section. It's Redcar Bears versus the Workington Comets. Also on Friday, Steve Worrell's Glasgow Tigers hosting the Edinburgh Monarchs in the Scottish section of the BSN Series, whilst the Scunthorpe Scorpions race the Plymouth Gladiators in the Cab Direct Knockout Cup. That's the first round, first leg. On Saturday, local derby in the BSN Series Scottish Group, Berwick Bandits versus the Edinburgh Monarchs. And also on Saturday, Plymouth Gladiators due to race their first home fixture. And that's against the Scunthorpe Scorpions in the Cab Direct Knockout Cup, first round, second leg. So straight back the for the second leg 24 hours later. Nothing on Sunday. Then on Monday, back to Roe Motor Oil Premiership, Bellevue Aces versus the Kingsland Stars, Birmingham Brummies versus Leicester Lions. And that's it for the next week ahead. Keep you up to date, and don't forget, keep up to date with everything happening across British Speedway. Previews, reviews, reaction, videos, everything else you need on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course on the official website, britishspeedway.co.uk. Just beware of sites, particularly Facebook pages, that send you a friend request looking like an official British Speedway page, and it's not. British Speedway is not sending any friend requests to anyone. You like the official British Speedway page, and you can see all the info there. So if anybody sends you a friend request or a group invite, chances are it's some people who have, like the scammers and so on, who are setting up these sites to sort of impersonate British Speedway official accounts and then try and sell you live streams. If you want a live stream, always, please, always go to the BSN website, which is watch.britishspeedway.co.uk for BSN fixtures, or the official club websites of any club that streams their own as well. So check those out. Go via the official websites and you'll be all right. If anybody's inviting you to follow them to give you links and whatever for live streams, please be very wary and check them out. If in doubt, just go to the British Speedway website and go to the official links from there. And so that rounds things up for this week. Have a great week in Speedway. Fingers crossed for better weather. And we'll see you next week on No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.